The 49ers will look to get back to their second Super Bowl in 4 years as they travel to Philly to take on the Eagles at noon. And the Bengals and Chiefs will square up for the AFC title game starting at 3:30. Coverage of Championship Sunday begins at 11 right here on Sactown Sports, your local sports leader. The Sacramento Kings will begin a 7-game roadie with a trip to Minnesota tomorrow night to square off with the Timberwolves. After Wednesday's loss, the Kings have notched a 27-20 record and remain first in the Pacific Division and third in the Western Conference. All of your coverage starts at 3:30 with game night, also right here on Sactown Sports. I'm Simone. Those are your headlines. Who do you got next? It's Eagles offense or Niners D? Let's get into it on Cattles and Rami.
Live and local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles.
And Rami.
On Sactown Sports.
Hour number dos here on a Friday. Thanks for joining us as always. It is much appreciated. He's Rami, I'm Cattles. All right, so Rami, looking at this game on Sunday, the Eagles offense is tough, man. I think people who haven't watched this team a lot might not know how difficult of an offense this is. Jalen Hurts is legitimately playing at an MVP level before his injury. Had to take a couple weeks off for the injury. Was back last week. Looked good enough last week. Here was his head coach, Nick Sirianni, on the quarterback and how he's looking.
How's Jalen responded to what will be the first time he's had to turn around in 1 week?
Yeah, I don't think he's thinking about that at all. I mean, he's ready to go. He's you know, I know he hasn't. No, nothing there. He's still getting treatment and stuff like that, but he's just ripping it like any normal week. Yeah, I get you.
He's just ripping it. He's just ripping it, man. How's your QB? He's ripping it.
Ripping it.
Ripping it, bro.
He ain't hurt. Ripping it.
Ripping it. He's going to rip it on Sunday. You ready for the rip job? Watch me rip it. What was that look for, Nate?
Rip job. That's what that look was for.
This is off the top of my head, man.
Hey, I'm not. I'm just giving
you. I talk 4 hours a day.
All right.
I'm just giving you the sauce.
That's a natural response to what you said.
You're the one running, wearing that T-shirt.
Yeah, I'm not the one saying rip job on air. And I'm pronouncing it very clearly so
here's
people know.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference.
Yeah, lay it on me.
I say rip job off the top of my head doing a live radio show. You made a conscious decision to wear what you're wearing today.
My mother bought me this shirt.
Aww,
so
sweet.
What do you want to say about that?
My mom bought me a lot of stuff I didn't wear.
She's a lovely woman.
Mom,
and
I love you, Mom, but not today. She's an elementary school teacher.
You cannot rip on my mother, Nick.
My God. Wow. Did she save any lives?
Brought the mom into it.
She's a hero.
She's an elementary school teacher.
She's a teacher. She's a hero.
She saved 25 kids from drowning back in 1993.
Deeply personal. On Cattles and Rami right now.
So that was Sirianni on Jalen Hurts. Here was Kyle Shanahan on Hurts.
He's just gotten more consistent. I mean, you can see in that game the ability that he has and what he was close to doing a number of times. I mean, he made some big throws in that game, and we contained him fairly well, but I think we're up 17-3, like with 5 minutes to go, and then he started getting going again, and they brought it right into one score game. So you could see the ability that he had real early on, and I know towards the end of that year he started getting on a roll, and that's when did they make the playoffs last year? Yeah, that's why they ended up making it, because how good he got after that. But we could see signs of it in that game. And now just watching him this year, hearing about it, you know, he's borderline NFL MVP, and then turning the film on these last 2 days, he's just like how he was with potential, and now he's doing it down in and down out.
So, look, the biggest challenge to me about Hurts in this game for the Niners, his ability to use his legs, Rami. Mm-hmm. One thing that the Niners have had trouble with consistently is dealing with mobile quarterbacks. Guys that can extend plays, guys that can get out of the pocket, guys that can run on you. I was surprised, I said it last week, that Dallas did not utilize Dak's legs more. I thought for sure they would. I mean, they ran like one option play with Dak last week. It went for 10-plus yards and got him inside the 5. And then Kellen Moore decided not to do it again. So, you know, it's the challenge of allowing Hurts to beat you, not just with the arm, but with his ability to scramble, his ability to go after you with the option. Because trust me when I tell you, Rami, this team that rushed for 268 rushing yards last weekend, they are going to use the read option with Jalen Hurts.
Oh, for sure.
And it's going to be up to San Francisco to handle that with discipline.
You know what's kind of cool about this matchup, Nick, is it's a lot of strength on strength. It's a lot of immovable object and unstoppable force when you look at these two teams. Like, for example, A.J. Brown, he's catching the ball. Last year, Jalen Hurts really struggled throwing the ball over the middle of the field. After they added A.J. Brown, he's averaging more than 79 yards per game over the middle of the field. 49ers posted a league-best 52.9 QBR with quarterbacks throwing across the middle. That's seventh best in the league. They had more interceptions than anybody in the league across the middle of the field. Philadelphia has the best graded pass-blocking unit in the league, while the 49ers, we know, are great at getting after quarterbacks. Eagles run the ball better than anybody in the league. 49ers have the second-best run defense. So it's a lot of, like I said, strength on strength, immovable object, unstoppable force. But you pointed out one of the few areas where there does seem to be an advantage for one of these teams, and it's mobile quarterbacks against the 49ers. They saw Jalen Hurts, not this season, but last season. He went for 82 yards on the ground and a touchdown.
And that was before. This was Hurts last year before he was developed even more and could hurt you even more with his arm. So that dual threat ability from him has improved since then.
And their success rate against quarterbacks, especially against the scramble, has been really, really bad. They have a 32% success rate. That's 26th in the league against the scramble. That's including the playoffs, too. So they have really struggled against mobile quarterbacks, especially the off-schedule scramble when a quarterback drops back and then just takes off because there is nothing there. They've especially struggled against that. That's partly because of an aggressive pass rush. Nick Bosa gets deep in his pass rushes. He gets upfield when he's chasing after quarterbacks, and that leaves gaps for quarterbacks to run through, and we know Jalen Hurts can exploit that. The other thing, the other place where there is sort of a matchup to exploit for Philadelphia's offense against this 49ers defense is big plays.
Yep.
A.J. Brown had 7 touchdowns this year of 25 yards or more, and we've seen the 49ers, especially in the back half of the season, be susceptible to the big plays. Those two things right there scare me. Everything else Philadelphia does well, the 49ers, you could argue their defense is better at stopping it. Those two things right there, a mobile quarterback and the big strikes, are two areas where I think the Eagles could exploit the 49ers. And if they're going to win, that's how they win.
And it's not just A.J. Brown either, right? I mean, you've got A.J. Brown, you've got Devontae Smith, you have Kez Watkins, who is very difficult and could take the top off that defense and beat you deep for a big score. And to pound on that point, because I agree with you, the big plays, the explosive plays is something I would be concerned by. Glenn Irby of Yahoo wrote, you know, according to Football Outsiders, the Niners ranked 24th in DVOA against deep passes, while according to True Media, it ranked 26th in EPA, which is expected play average per play, and 23rd in defensive success rate against passes that traveled at least 20 yards downfield. All of the analytics and your eyeballs, from what we've seen actually play out, the analytics back it up. You know, this secondary for the Niners, they're apt to give up some big plays. And Lenore is questioned. Hufanga and Gibson, we've seen them be undisciplined at times and give up big plays. Even Treverius Ward, who I think has been overall good, you know, he has shown from time to time a little bit of weakness in that side of the game. So I think the ability for Hurts to run the football, to extend those plays, and also to attack you downfield, that is a deadly combination and very difficult to stop both.
And it's a double-edged sword because you want it. The way to help your cornerbacks and to prevent the big plays is to get after quarterbacks and don't even give them the time for that play to develop, for that guy to run that route. But at the same time, when the 49ers are aggressive in getting after quarterbacks, like I said, opens up alleys for those quarterbacks to run through, and especially a guy who's very adept at that in a Jalen Hurts and who already exploited that the last time he saw the 49ers. So it's what do? Do you send that aggressive pass rush against him and open yourself up for the possibility of getting ripped on the run?
Yep.
I didn't say rip job. I said getting ripped on the run.
Still don't know what's wrong with rip job.
Or are you a little bit more conservative in your pass rush and you're sort of leaving your cornerbacks on somewhat of an island out there. Do you trust them to do that? Because they've shown that they can get beat and they can get exploited in that area of the game. So it's an interesting decision for D'Amico Ryans. He's made the right decision more times than not when it comes to what defense to dial up. But like I said, a bit of a double-edged sword there.
And don't forget, Charles Omenihu was banged up last week.
Yep.
We don't know how healthy he is and how much of an impact he will make against Seattle. He was fantastic last week. He had those issues after the injury. So is Omenihu going to give you as much impact? Bosa versus Mailata, I think, is the best matchup for the Niners. And I know people might say, you know, Stats kind of said this on Wednesday. Oh, yeah, Nick Bosa is a good matchup every week. I get it. But Mailata, when you look at his, you know, analytics, he's the weakest link of the chain in front of Jalen Hurts. So I would expect Bosa to be lined up across from him plenty on Sunday. And the Niners pass rush question is a good one, because if you look at the rest of this Philly O-line, you know, they were number 12 in the league in pass block win rate. So they were almost a top 10 offensive line when it comes to pass protection. So not only do you have to worry about Hurts scrambling, if you send extra guys, you might not get home anyway. So that's going to be a big question. And on top of that, Rami, when you are rushing Hurts, the thing that you got to remember, last weekend he had the quickest, fastest release of any quarterback. He gets rid of the football in like 2 seconds, 2.5 seconds. And so if you rush him, he will throw it quick. He will get rid of it quickly, and you will have some issues on your hands trying to bring down some of those explosive wide receivers. So this Eagles offense absolutely gives a lot of headaches for defenses. And I think, you know, the Niners, I know they played the Cowboys last week, but, you know, the Cowboys were limited in many ways, especially when Tony Pollard left the game. I don't think people are talking enough about that Pollard left that game.
Yeah.
And that dude is one of the most explosive, and you might argue the most explosive weapon on that Dallas offense to go along with CeeDee Lamb.
He's the better of the two. You know, I think
if Christian McCaffrey left the game last week with an injury, I think a lot of Niners fans would be like, yeah, well, I mean, they lost Christian McCaffrey. The Cowboys lost Pollard.
That play Kellen Moore called at the end of the game there, that might work if that's Tony Pollard instead of Zeke.
That wouldn't work if they had 11 aliens on the field. That had no chance.
Dude, I still don't know what that was.
Nobody does.
Mike
McCarthy's still telling us it could have worked.
I've found myself at various times in the 5 days since the Cowboys ran that play, like sitting and wondering, like, what was that?
They like fired everybody on the offensive staff aside from Kellen Moore. Like, Kellen Moore's like, safe, McCarthy's safe, everybody else.
What did they think? Like, it's like stuck in my memory. I'm like, what did they think was going to happen?
Jerry Jones is like, I saw that final. It's like, I saw that final play against San Francisco, so somebody's got to go, Mike. If it's not you and it's not Kendall, what we're going to do is just fire the rest of the offensive staff. That's how bad that play was.
Like, how'd they think that was going to work?
Everybody's got to go.
What was the idea there?
Zeke Elliott was going to block and then catch a lateral, and then I don't know. I don't know.
That's just such a bad call.
It's 3:13 on a Friday. Capital Casino, conveniently located on 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento, helps us this hour. Check out Capital Casino. Want your thoughts on the Eagles? Eagles offense against this Niners defense. How do you feel about this Niners defense against, I think, a formidable offense in Philadelphia? 916-339-1140 is the text line. 1-800-920-1140 is the phone number. Don't forget, YouTube.com. Check us out, YouTube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. Give us the thumbs up. Like us. That will help us an awful lot. See more eyeballs. That's what we need. We need more eyeballs on the product, and that's how we do it. More thumbs up, more eyeballs as we go 6A to 6P now, Monday through Friday here at Sacktown Sports. We'll get your thoughts on the Niners and Eagles also. What do we expect from the Kings at the trade deadline? Rami and I will tell you in 90 seconds.
Cattles.
And Rami.
Sacktown Sports. One brings MacLoft magic, while the other, we're still trying to figure that out.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
All right, let's jump to the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. We are joined by SacktownSports.com's Frankie Carticelli to talk some Kings. Frankie, thanks for being with us. Let's start with Domas. How much concern should fans have about his 27 turnovers over the last four games?
Fellas, thank you for having me. Happy Friday. Yeah, I mean, as well as Domas Sabonis has played this year, I think he was due for a couple of down games, and obviously you don't want him to have career high in turnovers on back-to-back nights. That's never going to make you feel good, but that's not who Domas Sabonis is. I think that we all know who he really is, and he's not that high of a turnover guy, and everyone's human. They have down games, but he was doing a little too much. I mean, the Kings trying to go down the middle a little too much against Toronto, who has a lot of length, and they really couldn't do much in the paint, and both De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis were trying to kind of force it down low, and it didn't work out. So hopefully that can obviously turn the page and trim down those turnovers. But, yeah, 17 turnovers over two games, I will knock on wood, but I would imagine that we won't be seeing that again from Domantas Sabonis this season.
We were just talking about an article by John Hollinger over at The Athletic where he says that the Kings shouldn't get too crazy at the trade deadline this year. How aggressive do you think they should be? How aggressive do you think they will be ahead of the trade deadline, Frankie?
I mean, I think they'll be aggressive as far as trying to address what they need. I don't think they'll be as aggressive as going out and trying to make a big splash and going to get that maybe a third star. I don't know if they're going to try to do something like that right now. They've been playing so well, and you know, Wednesday's game aside, they have been playing very well over the past couple of weeks. They've won 7 of their last 10. I could see them going out and making a move to upgrade the backup center position. To me, Miles Plumlee's a name that I think could be had for cheap. I've been seeing reports that the Hornets could even buy him out eventually, but the Kings have a lot of second-round picks. Maybe the Hornets take a flyer on one or two of those, but I think the Kings will try to upgrade backup center, defense for sure, but I wouldn't imagine that they'll try to part with any of their guys. I mean, Harrison Barnes has been so important to his team and has been playing so well lately, and while his value might be really high right now, I think the fact that Monty McNair is now locked into a contract, there's the possibility that Harrison Barnes maybe could stick around a little longer after all. I think he's a guy who's very calculated, and obviously he's going to do his best for him and his family. But now that Monty McNair and Mike Brown and De'Aaron Fox are all aligned over the next 3 years after the season, maybe that kind of can bolster the chances of him sticking around. But I wouldn't expect anything too huge, just kind of rounding things out, and especially on the defensive end.
Frankie Carticelli with us. Frankie, this bench from distance, shooting-wise, not great. How I don't know if I want to say desperate, but, you know, how urgent is that need to try to find some shooting off the bench, especially given Malik Monk's last couple of months?
They need it. They need someone to step up. Trey Lyles has done a good job of stepping up while Malik's been going through his rough patch, and it's been a rough patch that's gone on for quite some time now. But I know that Mike Brown is going to keep riding with Malik and letting him try to figure this thing out, and he did have a good start to the season. It's just outside of the first month or so, he's kind of struggled from the field. But the playmaking is there. He's been very good off the bench as far as finding his team. He's having a career high in that regard. But he needs to knock down shots. The Kings need offense off the bench, especially when De'Aaron Fox is off the floor, Domantas Sabonis, or both, which is rare. But there have been instances where they both cannot be on the floor at the same time. You need someone to step up. Malik Monk was that guy. Can he get back to that point? I think so. Mike Brown thinks so. But I know that Terrence Davis is somebody who could be moved in the next couple of weeks, but it's very possible Mike Brown looks to him for an offensive punch when things are kind of stagnant. And the Kings do have a guy like that off the bench, which is nice, but that could be another under-the-radar move they look to make over the next 2 weeks. Maybe someone that hopefully could score and play defense, and that'd be the perfect scenario. But I'd imagine if the struggles continue, maybe Monty McNair feels a little more pressure to add a score instead. But, you hate to see that from your bench bit piece, who was a Sixth Man of the Year candidate for most of the season to this point, but he's going through it right now, and he needs to work through it.
Has Trey Lyles solidified his spot in the rotation, or is that all still fluid?
Well, I think he's a Mike Brown guy. I think Brown really likes Trey Lyles, what he brings, and how versatile he is. He really can play three positions, and the fact that he can play backup center, if the Kings are having zero production from Rashawn Holmes and Tremezi Metu, I think that's something that he's done a couple of times, and obviously, the ideal scenario would be to have Rashawn Holmes produce and have he had a nice game a couple nights ago against Oklahoma City, but I'm not sure if that's going to continue. Obviously, he's not really comfortable in a backup center role, but Trey Lyles, you don't want to roll out there at backup center all the time, but He's a good piece off the bench. I mean, I think we talked about it before on here, but his contract right now is looking like a real bargain. I mean, he's been shooting 50% from three over the past month or so. He's knocking down shots. He's rebounding the basketball. He's been a good piece off the bench, and especially with Malik Monk struggling. I mean, I think that he's definitely solidified his role, whether it's the power forward spot. He's played some spot minutes at the three when he's played with Harrison Barnes, who's played primarily power forward this season, but I do like him off the bench in that power forward spot, and Mike Brown does too.
Frankie Carticelli is with us on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Frankie, why haven't they been better at home? As they get ready for this road trip, I mentioned this yesterday, they had the second-worst home record in the Western Conference out of the top 10 teams in the conference. What's going on at home, especially against teams under 500?
It's a head-scratcher. I mean, the way that fans have shut out this year, it's been incredible. I mean, we get our box scores at the beginning of the fourth quarter, you know, what happened in the third, and every game it seems like there's been that little sellout next to the attendance. They're selling out every game. They have one of the best home court advantages in the league. They need to do a better job of protecting home court. Simple as that. And I don't know if it's a matter of being comfortable, and they did have a good run where they won, they won seven in a row and they won six in a row. They've been playing well at home in stretches, but then they follow those good stretches up with bad stretches at home and against teams, like you said, under 500. And I don't know if it's playing down to the competition. That, to me, could be the case. But they need to really ramp things up. And you kind of saw it against Memphis, who was down two guys. They were down John Morant. They were down Steven Adams. But they were kind of toying around with the shorthanded Memphis team, and then finally they brought the hammer down. They need to do that more often. They need to come out, protect Golden 1 Center, because if we want this team to make the playoffs, which I think we all do, I think a huge component of that is the Kings have a home court advantage like they did back in the 2000s. And that's something they need to have if they're going to make it. They need to have that home court advantage. They need opposing teams to want to avoid going back to Golden 1 Center if they make it that far. They want to have that kind of impact on games. And in order to make that happen, they have to take care of these games or they'd be winning. And they've been playing well on the road. We're going to see if that can continue. They're 11-9 on the road. They're one of the best road records or the best road record in the West. But that's great. You need to win at home, though. You need to take care of that home court.
I'm sure they've been asked about this home court deficiency. Do they have any explanation for it, or are they as perplexed as the rest of us of why they can't seem to get it together at home?
Yeah, I mean, you hear different excuses and different reasons, and I think that one of the things I've heard from a couple of players is, you know, I think the comfortable aspect. They get comfortable, the crowd is into it, they get out to these leads, and then kind of late in the game when pressure is applied and teams get really physical, which is something I've noticed over the past couple of games, and that they've lost. Granted, I mean, again, they've played well overall over the past 10 games. I'm not going to let one game determine from that thought process, but it won't change my mind that they need to be more physical. And then when they get other teams that come in and they really put bodies on and they're physical down the paint, they fold. And we've seen the team get beaten in the paint all season long, and that's going to be a point of emphasis at the deadline, I think. But when that happens, they squander these leads and they fall behind and they kind of dig themselves in a hole. And to me, that might be the biggest difference is when you're at home and things feel comfortable and they feel normal, these leads feel normal, you get kind of complacent. And this team needs to kind of dig deep and realize that they're still on the uphill climb. You know, this team hasn't made the playoffs in 17 years and they have a lot to prove still, but they've proven a lot already. They just need to keep it going, and winning at home is a huge part of that.
Frankie Carticelli, thanks, man. We appreciate you. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Guys, have a good weekend. Talk to you later.
Thanks,
there
Frankie.
Goes Frankie. Frankie C., Frankie Carticelli, all guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. I was gonna get on Frankie a little bit, but I decided to be nice to him this week.
What were you going to get on him about?
Well, so we've had some problems recently trying to book Frankie.
But he was here today, so why would you give him a hard time when he's here today?
Because he's in studio with Deuce and Mo for a full hour on Fridays.
I mean, did we ask him for a full hour?
No, it's just I find it hard to believe that somebody who can't find 10 minutes on the phone on Friday can find a full hour to be in studio on Friday.
Oh, he's acting all kinds of brand new. I texted him like, hey, we're almost ready for you. He's like, I was like, do you call in or do we call you? And he's like, oh, yeah, usually you guys call me. I was like, Frankie, say less. I'm out of here, dude. I'll bring you up. I'll call you.
We've created a monster.
I love him, but
I mean, as the Kings have more success, his profile goes up too, man. Yep. I'm sure he's picked up a bunch of followers.
Business
this year.
Is booming. Business
the price is up. The price the is up on Frankie.
The Cardicelli business is booming.
You gotta get, the price is up. The price is right for Frankie.
He's in the chat right now, too. I don't know if you guys see that. He wants to come on for an hour.
See, look at bullying works. I'm just kidding. Don't bully.
A lot just happened.
I'll take an hour with Frankie.
Weekend props and our NFL picks coming up.
Cattles
and Rami.
Sactown Sports. With you 1 mile at a time during the afternoon drive. Cattles and Rami.
Sactown Sports.
Two of my favorite hip-hop songs of all time that don't get talked about a lot, or enough, at least in my eyes. This is one of them. Give Me the Loop by Biggie.
What's the other one?
Renegade, Jay-Z, Eminem.
That's a good song.
It's a fantastic song.
Solid song.
Love the song. Produced well. Two of the best of all time.
I don't know if I'm just not as big a music fan as a lot of people. I always have trouble coming up with the names of songs or albums or like what album a song was off of. I was walking down the hall and I ran into Verlad, our friend Chris Verlad. And he was like, Rami, can you name one Macklemore song? And I literally walked down two hallways just going,
Popping Tags, right? Is that?
I got nothing.
Thrift Shop. I think it's called Thrift Shop, right? Yeah.
Popping Tags.
Oh, wait. Was it Mac Miller or Macklemore? Whichever one it was.
Two different people.
One of the two, he asked me.
Two completely different people.
I'm just drawing a blank.
One no longer with us, God rest.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
wait,
true.
Was it Mac Miller or Macklemore? I can't remember. But either way. Like, I know the songs.
Macklemore's the Seattle cat with the...
Yeah. I know the songs by both. I just couldn't come up with the name of any of their songs.
I don't know. Macklemore?
I didn't mean to send you off into a...
Eminem in your top 10?
Yeah.
Top five.
Yeah, he's top five.
Is that just hip-hop artists or is that music?
Just
music
rappers.
Band?
Just rappers. Yeah, he's top five.
Absolutely.
Nate, top five?
No. Eminem's not in my top five.
I like Nate drawing the hard line.
I don't know if I want to hear his top five.
Is he top 10?
Don't want to hear this guy's top five.
Not really. What? I don't really like Eminem.
I could tell.
Yeah.
I feel like if Eminem's not in your top 10, you are unequivocally telling the world you're not a big Eminem fan.
Yeah.
Because I think most people.
And I'm sorry, Rami. It seems like I hurt your feelings. I apologize.
I have a feeling this is a generational thing. You know what I mean?
I mean.
Like these youngins around who don't even appreciate like a Michael Jordan. You know
what I mean? No, dude, that's not the. I was just playing Wu-Tang a minute ago. I mean?
That's true. That is true. I'm just saying.
And then.
It's age discrimination right now.
Yeah.
Maybe I've.
Ages.
I might have gotten out my jump to conclusions, man.
Oh, no. Don't worry. They're listening.
Rachel's. Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah.
So if Eminem's not in your top 10, all right, so I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole here, but give me a couple of your top five.
I love Tupac. I love Tribe. I love Kendrick Lamar.
I really like
I like Tyler the Creator a lot. Too,
love
growing
Tyler.
Up in high school, I listened to him a lot.
Do you guys know him?
I have no idea who that is.
N.W.A.
No?
Okay.
Eazy-E. All the West Coast guys, really. Like Warren G, Nate, all those guys.
All right. Yeah. All right. I like it.
Here in my respect.
Regulate, one of the greatest.
He won me back. I can't blame it on it.
Regulate would easily be in my top 10 solid songs.
Regulator.
I'm discovering a lot of East Coast 90s rap too now, recently, really going into it. So.
Talk to you about that.
Well. Childhood.
I never listened to Mobb Deep or anything. And,
ooh, love Mobb.
Yeah.
Jay-Z, greatest of all time. I will stand by that.
You ever heard that Linkin Park album he did with them?
So a little bit of it.
I like that. That's a guilty pleasure of mine.
Greatest of all time.
I like that one too.
His career, the longevity, the success. He has so many great songs. His catalog is outrageous.
I still don't know how you don't have Eminem in your top 10.
I do.
No, I'm talking about Nate.
I'm just not into it.
I thought it was a generational thing, but obviously not with
here's
some of the names
thing.
He listed
here's,
off.
Here's the thing about Eminem, and I don't know if you would agree. And we'll get back to sports in a minute. But here's the thing about Eminem. His best is incredible. His worst is trash.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think you can say that about almost
anybody.
No, but he
has no in between. Like, he has some of the worst stuff you will ever hear and some of the best stuff you will ever hear. Like, yeah. I don't listen to Jay-Z and go, that's one of the worst songs I've ever heard. I've listened to some M and go, that is awful. Like, it's just bad. Bad, bad. He went through about a 6-year stretch where he didn't make a lot of good stuff. Right. And that's why I think Jay-Z is consistent from the beginning to now. He consistently has made hit after hit. He's done it with different people. He's done it solo.
Listen, I didn't say I'm putting him ahead of Jay-Z. I don't know if I would or not. I'm not going to make my whole list right now in the air. I'm just saying he's top 10, I think, on most people's list. I don't know. Maybe I'm
wrong. I do. No, I think so, too. Yeah. I do. I think Eminem's he's in my top 10. But I just it's crazy where you could listen to, like, an entire, you know, album and I could sit there and go, oh, I might like one song from it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't – some of the best rap, like Tupac – and look, Tupac, because of dying young, didn't have as much material. But, I mean, like Busta. I could listen to Busta and be like, Busta's got hits. He's got tracks on each
– I do not like Busta Rhymes. I'll throw that out
now
there.
Now you can leave.
Yeah, now you can go.
Yeah.
You are.
I mean, the Eminem thing was one thing, but now
– you're excused.
I'll walk him out.
Yeah. Thank you, Simone.
All right.
JJ said arguably Busta could be the best of all time.
And if you're talking on pure skills.
He said arguably.
Arguably.
All right, weekend props. Let's get back to football before we get to our NFL picks. Rami, you got some props for us.
We need some music for this, don't we?
Can you got some music
NFL
back there?
NFL music?
Yeah, give me one sec here.
Football-y football music?
He's like, come on, man.
Something with horns and drums?
Some Eminem?
To be fair to Nate, we did not warn him or get him out of here.
I can't do NFL picks without NFL films
this
music.
This is on us.
That's true. I need just a quick second here.
Yeah, now I feel like it's taking too long. Like
Now it's getting awkward.
I could excuse it for a good 10 seconds, but now we're like,
it's a little uncomfortable. There we go. Hey, there we go.
I just got to keep you guys talking.
All right.
There we go. All right, some props from this weekend's game.
What we got?
Isaiah Pacheco, longest run of the afternoon, over under 12.5 yards.
This feels totally random.
Yes. I didn't just make this up. This is an actual bet.
You know what?
In books, places where that sort of thing is allowed.
I'll go over. He ran like a 4.39 40.
Over 12.5.
I'm going to go over.
Simone, are we going behind the glass for their picks on these?
Sure.
We all right.
Yeah. I'll go over as well.
Under.
Please.
Under.
Under for Nate.
I think I'm going to take the over. You're right. He's a speedy dude. He's a speedy dude.
I'm the contrarian today.
I like that.
And, you know, I didn't come here to do that, but here we are.
You've chosen your path.
Yes.
It's fine. It's accepted.
Brock Purdy.
Purdy.
Over, under 219.5 passing yards.
Oof. Under.
Really?
Under.
Simone.
Ugh, I feel like I'm just following him, copy and paste, but under too.
Nate.
Vince McMahon would hate this show. A lot of pronouns. Yeah. A lot of pronouns being thrown around right now.
Under, but still gets the win. Heavy run game.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to go against a field. I'll be the lone wolf and say over.
All right.
On 219.5 passing yards for Brock Purdy. Miles Sanders. Over under 51.5 rushing yards against that 49ers defense. That seems doable. 51.5 rushing yards, that seems doable. No? I'm going to say over.
I'll go strength versus strength.
It is.
I'll go over because I think the Niners are going to have at least some issue with the whole read option thing.
Simone, Miles Sanders, over under 51.5 rushing yards.
Give me the under, please.
And Nate.
I'll take the under, too. Similar reason to Nick, but the opposite. I think Jalen Hurts is going to run.
Similar reason to Nick, but the opposite.
Yeah, you know, similar. whatever.
Similar reasoning, opposite conclusion.
It.
Yes.
Yeah.
What would I ask him? He was confident earlier. Said yes, why not, or something? Or said, yes,
yeah, kind of.
Kind
whatever.
Of, whatever.
Yeah.
Are you super confident, Nate? Yes,
yeah,
I am,
sure.
Kind of. I think.
Yeah, I'm kind
of
confident.
You forgot one out of your list.
Oh, no, I got one more.
Oh, okay.
Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes?
Best for last.
Who has more passing yards on Sunday?
Burrow, because I just don't know what Mahomes is going to look like.
That leg, that ankle.
Simone?
Give me Burrow as well.
Nate?
Burrow.
I was gonna go Burrow, but I just want to win some points against the field. So I'm gonna go with Mahomes.
Burrow head, thumbs up or thumbs down on the nickname?
I think it's clever and I like trash talk. So I from that standpoint, thumbs up. If I'm the Bengals coaching staff, I'm like, what are you doing, giving them bulletin board material?
Here's
like
what
that,
I don't like about the trash talk. It's now moved on to the mayor. I hate that.
Oh, I didn't see what
when
he said.
Politicians get involved. It's like low hanging fruit. They just want to be like, hey, sports fans, we know.
I'm one of you.
We're watching.
What do you mean? I love this team too.
Get out of my face. All right, let's move to the NFL picks now. Cincinnati at Kansas City, Rami. KC minus one.
They
one
are
point
minus
favorite.
One, huh?
Yes. They went back and forth. Early in the week, they were the underdogs.
Yep.
Kind of swinging back the other way now.
So it's basically a pick 'em. This is so hard to pick, not knowing what version of Patrick Mahomes. Are you? I'm going to go with Cincy. I'm going to say Cincy. If Patrick Mahomes is even 98%, I think this is that close that gives Cincy the edge.
Simone?
I'm going Cincy, too. I got it circled right here on my paper.
Nate the Great?
Cincy. The Niners are undefeated against Cincinnati in the Super Bowl, and I think we might see that again.
It's a clean sweep. I got Cincy, too. Just Mahomes' health, man. I think Lou Anarumo is going to cause some trouble with some of the blitz looks and some of the pressure looks for Cincy. Burrow's been absolutely nails against the Chiefs' defense every time he's played them. And I think that Cincinnati run game's getting overlooked because people are in love with the quarterback angle. San Fran at Philly. Philly minus 2.5.
Again, this is another really tough one. I think the line is justifiably close when you're talking about a 2.5-point spread between these two teams. I think it's going to be a tight game. I'm going to literally almost flip a coin and just say San Francisco plus the 2.5.
Yeah, it's tough. I was reading earlier that San Francisco has covered 5 straight playoffs.
Yeah, I think Shanahan's like 7-1 or 7-2 in the playoffs against the spread.
I did see that number, yeah.
Give me SF, please.
Niners, 100%.
Faithful to the Bay,
I'm going to be the lone guy on the island, baby. I'm going Eagles, minus 2.5.
Tony's
going
to jump you.
Hurts over Purdy. Philadelphia pass rush over the San Francisco pass rush. I'm not totally sold that CMC's super healthy. I need to see it to believe it. I don't believe any team in the postseason when they say, oh, yeah, they're good, they're fine. I need to see it.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick question. Anybody been writing these down?
No, Nate can go back. And
all right.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Thanks, Nate.
We have this great thing called the podcast on the website.
Where can I get that?
Sacktownsports.com, Rami.
All right.
Also, the YouTube can watch the replay.
You can.
Wow.
If you want to see our face.
And vote in our new poll. We got a new poll up. About the Kings this time.
And I, as we established earlier, exfoliate, moisturize, and use a retinol cream.
So retinol cream.
Go check it out on the YouTube page.
I was today years old when I found out that what retinol cream is.
Prevents wrinkles, man. It's a preventative measure, you know?
Well,
so I stay looking this young.
Oh. I fear if you didn't use it, what you'd look like.
Keep this youthful glow of mine.
I thought it was for acne.
Thanks, Nate.
No, you don't have acne, though.
I still break out every once in a while like a teenager. I'm in my 40s, and every once in a while I'll break out like a teenager.
I'll get a random one every once
in
a while. That's just a little
bacteria. That's not breaking out. I mean, you get one pimple.
I exfoliate,
breaking out
though.
Is like when you get...
Simone, I exfoliate.
Yeah, I know.
How's bacteria getting in there? You know,
in my fridge over by my desk, oops, sorry, I dropped my papers. I have a bunch of nice, like, facial creams in there, so it's nice and cold. I got a little, like, jade roller. You're welcome to it. Yeah. Sorry. Nick's going to kill me.
I should keep my facial cream cold.
What are we doing?
All right. Yep.
Wow.
Back to picks, please, you guys.
I'm going
to
keep it in the fridge. I'm going to put my retinol cream in the fridge. Good to know. We're trying to help. That's what we're doing, Nick. Skincare is important.
All right, largest organ in the body.
Thank you.
Or outside of it. Bye. Turning off my mic.
I got nothing to say. Hit the break, Nate.
Cattles and Ronnie.
Sacktown Sports.